Time for Truth for the Times with Pastor Peter J. Peters. Truth for the Times will give you new insight, knowledge, and understanding of the times. This program may not be politically correct, but it is biblically correct. You've heard the lies and deceptions of the day. Now it's time for the truth. However, we must warn you, due to the nature of truth and man, this program could be offensive, shocking, and even frightening. But remember, the truth sets free and changeth not. And this Truth for the Times broadcast could very well change your life. So take time for this Truth for the Times broadcast with Pastor Peter J. Peters.
You know, the Word of God tells us that there is such a thing in the realm of truth as meat versus the milk. And it's time for Christian people to start feeding on some of the meat of the Word. In this broadcast, you're going to get the meat, strong meat, because we're going to talk to you about conspiracy. Now, there's been a lot of talk about conspiracy, a lot of books written over the decades concerning conspiracy. I think the John Birchers have written, talked much about communist conspiracy. Displaced farmers and money scholars have talked about money conspiracies, banking conspiracies. Military men have told us about conspiracies in the political arena, the CFR and the trilateralists and things like that. But did you know that in the Word of God, there is identified a conspiracy that is a conspiracy of all conspiracies? A bedrock conspiracy, you might say. A conspiracy that the Bible calls the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king. Now, I would suggest to you that perhaps you take notes as we go through this lesson, which will be involved and detailed. Even if you have an opportunity to videotape this program, I would suggest you do so. Because in this program, you're going to learn some of the deeper truths that the churches have seemed to have forgotten. Truths, really, that aren't really that deep. For example, you're going to learn the word kingdom. What does it pertain to? What does the gospel of the kingdom of Christ actually pertain to? We're going to be talking to you about government. You're going to learn something about government that most graduates from universities, even with a degree in political science, do not know. A simple, basic, fundamental truth pertaining to government that it's time for you to learn. We're also going to be exposing to you the religious racket that exists in America today. Yes, you heard me right. The religious racket that exists. We're going to discuss what is called the chain of cause and effect. You know, many people are concerned about their economic and social condition, yet they haven't the slightest idea what it is that causes the economic and social condition of a society to exist. So in this broadcast, you're going to learn the chain of economic and social conditions as it goes on down further in the chain. What is at the bottom of it that determines all this? You're going to be learning the meat of the word as we talk to you about the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king. Ezekiel, a true prophet of God, exposes the conspiracy that we're going to be teaching you in this broadcast. In Ezekiel chapter 22, he first of all says in verse 25 the following words: "There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst." So there we see the first culprit identified. a prophet, prophets, if you will, being part of a conspiracy that Ezekiel's talking about. I want to read it again. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst. And then he goes on to say, like a roaring lion tearing the prey, they have devoured lives, they have taken treasure and precious things, they have made many widows in the midst of her. Then in verse 26, Ezekiel identifies another individual involved in this conspiracy. It was the priest. This is what he says. Her priests have done violence to my law. So there we see the second person, the priest. He had done violence to the law. He goes on to say, they have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. So, Ezekiel's given us two people, the prophet, the priest. But there's a third culprit in this conspiracy. In verse 27, he identifies the third party in this conspiracy. He says, in verse 27, her princes within her are like wolves, tearing the prey. So, Ezekiel has identified the prophet, the priest, and the king, all involved in a conspiracy. Ladies and gentlemen, that conspiracy still exists today. It's in our land today. The Bible tells us that there is nothing new under the sun. The only problem is none ever call it conspiracy. And that's the title of our book called None Ever Call It Conspiracy that we want to send to you. This little booklet will cover the material that we're talking about in this broadcast. None Ever Call It Conspiracy, authored by myself, is available absolutely free if you want to have it. You can just write to Truth for the Times, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We'd like to send that booklet to you. There is no charge. All you have to do is write and request it. If you'd like to enclose a donation, it would be most appreciated. But we want you to learn to understand a truth in these times when the conspiracy between prophet, priest, and king is prospering quite well. Now, this conspiracy not only existed in the days of Ezekiel, it not only exists today, but it existed in the days when our Lord and Master graced the face of this earth with His presence. When He began to speak and teach concerning the message of the kingdom, that conspiracy existed, and the establishment at the time was very concerned about what He was teaching and preaching. When I say the establishment, I'm talking about the Herods, the Caesars, the Pharisees, and the scribes, the priests. The system that was in existence at that time understood that if this message that he was proclaiming, the gospel of the kingdom of God upon earth, if it was to get out, it was going to destroy their racket. That racket still exists today. The message of the kingdom, what was it? I want to ask you something, particularly if you're a Christian viewing this broadcast, and if you're not a Christian, I can almost understand maybe why you're not. But you see, you're not a Christian because you've been turned away from not true Bible Christianity, but perhaps you have been seeing unconsciously this racket going on. And as a result, you've turned away from Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, and from the Word of God, which is there to give us our plan and direction in this world. But if you're watching this, you need to understand what this message of the kingdom was all about. I want to ask you, in one word, just try to sum it up in one word, what does the message of the kingdom pertain to? Why, Brother Peters, don't you know it pertains to Christians dying and going to heaven? Well, now, is that why the Caesars were killing Christians? Because they were going to die and go to heaven. They didn't care if you went to hell or to heaven as long as your taxes were paid before you left. No, that wasn't the message of the kingdom. the message of the kingdom. Well, Brother Peters, that was about love and grace and salvation. No, not exactly. It might include those things, but think about it. What does the word kingdom mean? It means government. Kingdom is synonymous with government. A kingdom has a government, and the message of the kingdom pertain to government. Now, many Christians are concerned, or at least they should be concerned, about this humanistic, antichrist, socialist, one-world type government that seems to be evolving in our day. But the Christian has not understood his responsibility in proclaiming the message of the gospel or the government of God. Now, to back up the statement, let's think of what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 67. He said, "For unto us a child is born, and," now this is what Isaiah says, "unto us a child is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and the increase of his government there shall be no end." Now, the mystery of the kingdom of God pertain to the government of God. You see, the government was to be upon his shoulders. Oh, well, Brother Peters, that's going to happen when Jesus returns. Hold it. Who comprises the body of Christ today? Who makes up his shoulders, his arms, his feet? Think about it, Christian. You Christian people who have not identified the conspiracy of the prophet, priest, and king that exists in our land. Now, I'm going to give you a truth about government that you would probably not get if you graduated from a university with a political science degree. A very simple, basic concept about government. You see, the kingdom of God pertained to government, and this is the concept. Before I give it to you, I really need for you to understand what government is. I looked up the definition of government in my old Webster's 1828 dictionary, and I found a very excellent definition. This is what it said, that government is, quote, "an exercise of authority, direction, and restraint, exercised over the actions of men in communities, societies, and states." If government is the exercise of authority, then we must stop and think. There are only two types of authority, God's and man's. Do you remember in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, when we had two men of God having to face a choice, and they said, "We must obey God rather than man"? Now, they understood that there were only two authorities. There are only two ways, if you will. There's man's way, and there's God's way. As a result of understanding that government is the exercise of authority, we can distill down to this basic truth that in reality, there are only two. Just two types of government. There's man's government and there's God's government. Oh yes, I know man has many subdivisions of his government. We can talk about democracy, monarchy, oligarchy, whatever you want. But when you really think about it, there are only two ways, God's way and man's way. And this is what turned the world upside down. Because Christ came and proclaimed God's way. What was Christianity first called? It was called the way. And the message of the kingdom of God pertained to a way of life for man upon this earth. It pertained to the government of God. And it turned the world upside down. Now, is that good or is it bad? Well, it's bad. It's very bad. If you're one of the boys on top. Because once it's turned upside down, you're on the bottom. And many of them found themselves lower than a snake belly in a wagon's rut, right where they belonged. These men that had been on top, the Herods and the Caesars, the corrupt politicians, the high priests and the Pharisees, these men that had been prospering off the people, suddenly found their world turned upside down and they were put where they belonged, on the bottom. And Jesus Christ was raised up to the position of a king. Now, we look and see today that Christianity really is not, I put it this way, Christianity today, the form of Christianity that some of you have actually turned away from, thinking that you've turned away from true Christianity, but what we see out there, often labeled Judeo-Christianity, really hasn't been turning the world upside down. Oh, but Brother Peters, don't you know that this crusade and that crusade has been saving souls and doing this and that? But I'm talking to you, friend, about turning the world upside down, putting things in its right order again. Has that been going on? You see, Christians do not understand what I'm going to bring to you next. They do not understand the chain of cause and effect. I'm going to briefly explain to you the chain of cause and effect by telling you that your social system is determined by your economic system. Now stop and think about it a second. You know that your economics is going to have an effect on your social life. Well, what is it that determines the economic system? And the answer to that is the political system. You see, we all know that the next batch of Babylonian politicians that we get into office are going to have an effect one way or another upon our checkbooks and our wallets, because the political condition has an effect upon the economic condition. So what is it that determines the political condition of a people? The political condition of a people is determined by the spiritual condition of a people. Now, let me give you an example. A few years ago, it would have been political suicide to have been in favor of homosexual rights, to have tried to defend the rights of sexual perverts and try to get elected into a political office. It would have been political suicide a few years ago. Why? Because the spiritual condition of the people was different. But today, you can be for what they call, quote, gay, unquote, gay rights, and get elected into office, even the highest office or one of the high offices of the land. Another example is abortion. Why, there was a time not very far back in our history, it would have been political suicide to be in favor of abortion. But when the spiritual condition of the people changes, then the political climate changes. So what is it that determines the spiritual condition of the people? And the answer to that is the religion of the people. Now, let's look at the chain of cause and effect, and we'll pull it up on the screen. I've been explaining it to you, so I want you to get it down and understand. The social condition is determined by the economic condition. The economic condition is determined by the political condition. And the political condition is determined by the spiritual condition. And the spiritual condition is determined by the religious leaders. So let's go and think about this a second. You mean to tell me, Brother Peters, that the economic social condition of a people is ultimately determined by the religious leaders of the people? Well, when you look at that chain of cause and effect, that's really the case. You see, for man to have a system, an economic and social system where the people are oppressed, taxed, and taxed some more, and plundered, where injustice prevails, political corruption and bribery prevails, for that to exist, you have to have the right religious leaders, otherwise you can't have it. So here are the truths that we've established thus far. Truths that we need to understand for this time that we're living in. The kingdom of God refers to the government of God. You know, you can almost take that word kingdom, and when you see it, the kingdom of God, and put in there the word government, the government of God. Now, I say that that is like meat, but in reality, that's really milk, but it's really something that Christian people today have not been taught by their religious leaders. And there's a reason for that. We're going to find that out as we go on in this program regarding the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king. Secondly, you have learned a truth that most do not know, that in reality there are only two governments, God's and man's. There's only two ways. You see, there's only two authorities, God's and man's. In Acts chapter 5, verse 29, they said, "We must obey God rather than man." Thirdly, we know then that for man's system of oppression, corruption, greed, and all the things that come with a corrupt political, economic, social system, for that to exist, you have got to have the right religious leaders for the people. Now, that's a truth for the time that people have not heard. And we do try to give it in this booklet called None Ever Call It Conspiracy. And we do hope and pray you'll take advantage of our special offer of that book, which is free of charge. None Ever Call It Conspiracy is available. It's a conspiracy you see on the front page there between church and state. And the dollar bill is the sidewalk between the two of them there. You can order that booklet from us free of charge by simply writing to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Now, for man's government to exist, we'll go back to that, for man's way or government to exist, to allow an economic social condition where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer, for it to exist where corruption and bribes and greed and injustice exists, as I said, you must have the right religion. Now, what religion would you like to have if you were going to be a corrupt king and, say, queen? If you wanted to have a system where you could get by with murder, you could get by with injustice, you could get by with oppressing the people, you could get by plundering the people, that is, taxing them and taxing them some more, what type of religion would you want to have in your land? Well, the Bible tells us the answer to that by giving us a story about two very corrupt people called Ahab and Jezebel. Now, Ahab and Jezebel, they had their kingdom, if you will, just another word for government. And they had their system, their way, if you will, which was in a very wicked, oppressive way. They were people that the Bible tells us were deceitful. They promoted murder, robbery, plunder. Guess what? They even promoted homosexuality. And I'm going to tell you something. This is just for free. I can guarantee you almost that Ahab and Jezebel told the people of their land that they were concerned for their health, safety, and welfare, and that we want a new health program for you, which was just another way of taxing the people. You see, Christ made it clear, the apostles made it clear, the Word of God makes it clear that evil always disguises itself as good. Now, I can almost guarantee you this, when Ahab and Jezebel were inaugurated, that they had a religious leader there giving them prayers, offering incense to God. You see, the corrupt system, though it might be corrupt, is still religious, and it has to have a certain type of religion to survive. What type of religion is that? It's the very same type of religion that exists in America today. It's called the old-time Baal religion. The Bible talks about serving the Baals. The Bible talks about a whoring after other gods and going after the Baals. In the book of Kings, 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 32, this is the first thing that Ahab and Jezebel did when they got into office. It says in that scripture, quote, "So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal," end of quote. He erected an altar for Baal. You see, for the corrupt system of Ahab and Jezebel to exist, they had to have the right religion, because the chain of cause and effect goes this way. The social condition is determined by the economic condition of the people. The economic condition is determined by the political condition of the people. We all know that the next band of Babylonian horse thieves that get into political office are going to have a direct effect upon our wallets. The political condition is determined by the spiritual condition of the people. How is it that we can get someone into office that openly embraces sexual perverts and pushes them in military and government posts and that type of thing? How is it that that can happen today in America? Very simple. The spiritual condition of the people has changed. It's not the same as it was just a few decades back. And what is it that determines the spiritual condition of the people? And the answer to that is the religious leaders of the people. Now, those religious leaders must be Baal priests. Next, we're going to talk about a symbiotic relationship. A symbiotic relationship. Do you know what it is? You have to understand it in order to understand the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king. Now, this Truth for the Times broadcast is aired on some stations for just a half hour. And for those of you that are watching our half hour broadcast, I'll just have to tell you that to get the rest of the story, so to speak, you really need to write and request this booklet called None Ever Call It Conspiracy. We'll send it to you free of charge. And our address will be given to you here in a moment as we break. The None Ever Call It Conspiracy booklet. Conspiracy between the church and the state. And that sidewalk between the two of them is a stretched out dollar bill. You can get that, no charge, None Ever Call It Conspiracy, by ordering from Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. We do hope and pray that you'll write and request it. If you would like to send us an offering, we would be most grateful because these broadcasts cost us money. But you know, I want you to understand that we are very, very sincere and interested in you learning this truth about a conspiracy. But none ever call it conspiracy. It's a religious racket, and it exists right here in our land today. Just as it existed in the days of Ezekiel, just as it existed in the days of Christ. Why do you think they killed Jesus? Because he was going to teach you a way to go to heaven? No, it was way, way deeper than that. He was going to turn the system upside down and destroy the racket for everybody. And he was going to give freedom, true freedom, to the oppressed. And he was going to show a way which would give prosperity and freedom and liberty and health, a way of God. But you see, there's only two ways, God's way and man's way. Well, for man's way to exist, there has to be this symbiotic relationship. And in the next half of this program, we're going to talk about the symbiotic relationship, and you'll begin to have this come into focus, this conspiracy between prophet, priest, and king. You see, the king represented the government, and that government, a corrupt government, could not stand unless it had the right religious leaders. And I hope and pray that you'll think about that. And that for those of you just watching our half-hour broadcast, that you'll take advantage of our offer and order this Truth for the Times special offer, None Ever Call It Conspiracy. Now, we're going to have a break here, and we'll be giving you another special offer at break time. And then we'll come back right after break and tell you about that symbiotic relationship. If you don't know what it is, you'll be sure to stay with us because you'll be surprised.
Pastor Peters will be right back with more Truth for the Times. Have you ordered your Truth for the Times introductory offer? It's a 60-minute cassette message by Pastor Peters. It will introduce you to a host of new and life-changing truths. This tape comes with a special coupon track, giving you privileged access to a treasure of new knowledge and understanding. Plus, you get a cassette tape catalog listing over 500 messages by Pastor Peters. Write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Enclose a $2 offering for postage and handling. By the way, have you read America the Conquered by Pastor Peters? If not, you should. Available for an $8 offering. Write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
So I left off with the term symbiotic relationship. What is a symbiotic relationship? In nature, when any two organisms live together with a mutual benefit, it's called a symbiotic relationship. Perhaps one of the best examples I can give you is an example that we have in our booklet called None Ever Call It Conspiracy, or None Ever Call It Conspiracy, is the example of the water buffalo and the tick bird. The water buffalo and the tick bird. We have an illustration in the book, and there is the water buffalo with the tick bird living on its back called nature's symbiotic relationship. And this is the way it works. You see, the water buffalo in Africa, as he feeds upon the grass, begins to have the insects fly up and land on his back, and then those little birds, the tick birds, land on his back, and they begin to eat the ticks and the bugs that land on his back. And so a mutual symbiotic relationship comes into being. You see, in a situation like that, the water buffalo is far more comfortable and can graze and devour the grass much easier by having the tick bird on its back. The tick bird gets very easy pickings. It's kind of like a you pat my back, I pat your back relationship. Now, there has always existed a very, very similar symbiotic relationship between the king and the priest, or between, if you will, in the day's terms, between government and the state-approved religious leaders, the state-approved churches of the land. Except we don't use the term state-approved churches today. We use the term tax-exempt churches. We have in our book here, and I'll just read it to you, this symbiotic relationship explained. I want to read it as it is in our little booklet that we want to send to you. The same type of relationship does and has always existed in the political area of life between king and priest. Just as the water buffalo does not want the annoyance of bugs and ticks as he feeds on and devours the grass, so a king does not want the annoyance of resistance as he feeds off the fruits of the labors of the citizens, as he taxes, assesses, and controls the people. Tax resistors and uncooperative citizens make life most unpleasant for a king. The religious priest, like the tick bird, likes to eat and prefers easy pickings, thus develops the symbiotic relationship, such as we show on the screen at the present time. Now, we have an illustration in our book called None Ever Call It Conspiracy that's very similar to that one we just showed you of the water buffalo and the tick bird. It's the illustration of a government out of control, oppressing and taxing and plundering the people, removing more and more of their freedoms, becoming larger and fatter with little tick birds on its back. We call it the Babylonian symbiotic relationship. And here it is on the screen. I'll explain it to you as it comes up on the screen. There we see the water buffalo, big government out of control. One leg says oppression, the other one says taxation and plunder, the other one foreign wars, and the other one socialization. There are the people underneath being devoured and trampled on, and the saddle on top of that water buffalo has on it state-approved churches, non-profit corporations of the state. And those little birds up there, you can't see them too well on the screen, they got halos and a backward collar, and they're saying, obey Caesar. Be subject to the higher powers. This world is not your home. You're just passing through, brother. Pay your taxes and send your tithes to me. You know, they're tax deductible. And so, the symbiotic relationship develops between this water buffalo and these tick birds. It's one of you pat my back, and I pat your back. Now, I'll let that sink in a minute, because that might even be offensive to some of you. But it goes on, and it has always gone on. But none ever call it conspiracy. But old Ezekiel did. The prophet Ezekiel called it exactly what it was. You see, these Baal priests, they are the religious leaders that a corrupt economic social system and government needs in order to exist. Oh, they teach you to praise Jesus, that's true. And they talk about heaven. But when it comes to the kingdom, the kingdom of God, the government of God, His way for man. They say nothing. Because you see, it wouldn't be wise for them to say anything. They might lose their tax-exempt status. They might be crossing over into a territory that they're not allowed to go into. They say nothing about His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. His will being done on earth as it is in heaven. The people, they obey Caesar, yes. But the thing that we need to ask ourselves, does Caesar obey God? Well, the Baal priests don't require Caesar to obey God. The Baal priests just tell the people to obey Caesar, you see. But Caesar thinks he's got the divine right of kings. Oh, we don't use those terminologies today, do we? What do we use? Well, we call it separation of church and state, as if those religious leaders are not to tell a political leader, you have no right to put sexual perverts over the people. You see, that's not done with the Baal religion. Well, going on in this conspiracy, I want to read to you from our book called None Ever Call It Conspiracy. We want to read to you this statement that comes out of the book. It says, the Bible identifies the third man and calls it conspiracy. One can understand how the king benefits from the teaching of the priest, and naturally the priest is in turn rewarded by the king. After all, if you have a goose which lays the golden egg, you'll see to it that the goose is well fed and taken care of and clothed. Thus the king and the priest get richer, and the people get poorer, and none get wiser, because who's going to expose it? We'll stop there. Now, who's going to expose this racket? Well, it would take the guts of a prophet to expose the racket. But whenever the prophets come on the scene, as we see in the scriptures, they are normally killed or jailed. What did they do to John the Baptist? What did they do to Christ? What did they do to Jeremiah? So, in place of the true prophet, you have the false prophet. You see, when the people begin to feel the burdens of the world, of this way that man has established, which is not God's way, this government that man has established, which is not God's government, then along comes the false prophet. And the false prophet, he says, hey, you're okay and I'm okay. Praise the Lord. This world is not your home, brethren. You're just passing through. You'll be here but a short time, and then we get to go to heaven with Jesus. Well, you see, you're okay. I'm okay. And now develops into focus, hopefully for you, what we try to put in clear focus in our booklet called None Ever Call It Conspiracy. This conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king that Isaiah speaks of. And in order for that conspiracy to exist, you have to have that cooperation between prophet, priest, and king. And so it is today. You see, today we have state-approved churches. They're called tax-exempt corporations. And whenever you have a corporation, let me tell you something. When you have a church that's a corporation, Jesus Christ is not the head of that church. Just the way it is. If you are a state incorporation, then the secretary of that state is the head of that church, you see. But the nice thing about having it, then you have that tax-exempt status, and you don't have to worry about losing it as long as you tell the people to always obey Caesar, not to resist, not to go and tell the king or the president what the Word of God says, what the law of God is. You see, Ezekiel, going back to the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king, Ezekiel said, there is a conspiracy of her prophets in her midst. But then he goes on down to verse 26, and this is what he says about the priest in relation to the law of God. He says, her priests have done violence to my law. They have made no distinction between the holy and the profane. They have not taught the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they hide their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. in the quote. Now, Ezekiel understood that the Baal priest's job was to do violence to the word of God. How much more violence can you do to the law of God than to teach the people that God's law has been done away with? It's no longer in place, and we're no longer to follow it. It was contrary to us and against us and taken out of the way. You see, what happens in a Baal priest religion is that they take scriptures and they twist those scriptures to teach something that really is not taught. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, "Think not that I came to destroy the law. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Well, that's a whole other series, and God willing, perhaps someday we'll go through and teach you regarding the Bible position and the law of God. But let me tell you this. The law of God is still the same regarding, say, the subject of homosexuality. You can't have government come in and change that law. But when the Baal priests have done violence to his law, that is, taken it out of the way, out of the minds of the people, a void is not going to exist. That then allows man's government to come in and establish law. Now, whoever is the lawmaker of a society is the God of that society. James said that there was only one lawgiver. Man's job is to enforce God's law, not to make his own law. Now, what happens then when you have a Baal religion come upon the people? You have all types of corruption begin to surface in society. On page 12 of our book, we have the old-time Baal religion illustrated. I want to pull it up on the screen, and I'll explain it to you here how it works. On the old-time Baal religion, first of all, you have the preacher. Now, the preacher's job is to stand behind the pulpit, and this is here he is with the peace symbol saying, "Judge not. The law has been nailed to the cross. God is love, grace and peace and tolerance." And in the next scene, we have the reward. The church treasurer says, "Keep it up, good message." And the tax government man says, "I believe you qualify for one of these," which is a tax-exempt status. And then we have the very last, the fruit of all of this, and the fruit of it being the sins of the people getting bigger and bigger. Well, that's the old-time Baal religion. And as long as he keeps the people sedated, the government is quite happy. See, Herod wasn't concerned about Christ showing a way to heaven for people. He wasn't concerned at all. As I said before, the Caesars and the Herods, they didn't care if you went to hell as long as your taxes were paid before you went, or if you went to heaven. That wasn't the issue. That wasn't the message of the kingdom of God. It wasn't the message at all. Now, for this system to exist, the conspiracy of prophet and priest and king, you need to understand a formula that tyrants, corrupt politicians, evil kings, bankers, and so forth have understood for a long, long time. And that formula we're going to tell you about right after this break. And if you don't understand this formula, you'll not understand fully the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king. So we'll be right back.
America the Conquered. The book serving as a wake-up call to a sleeping people. The prophet Isaiah cried, "Awake, awake to a people and a nation asleep to their conquest." America the Conquered by Pastor Peter J. Peters tells how, why, and proves it so. It's only for those who can face the truth. Available for an $8 offering, write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Also order the Truth for the Times introductory offer. It's a 60-minute cassette tape by Pastor Peters. With it comes a special coupon track allowing you access to new insight and truth. Plus, a cassette tape catalog listing over 500 messages by Pastor Peters. Write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Well, so far we have discussed the issue of the kingdom of God, that there's only two types of governments, either God's or man's. And we've been discussing this conspiracy that Ezekiel identified as the conspiracy between prophet, priest, and king. Now I want to give you a little more insight as I discuss an equation, a formula, if you will, that has been known by tyrants, banker conspirators, oppressors for centuries and centuries. Now, I told you we would be talking about the meat of the word, and that's what we're doing in this lesson on the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king. But this equation is something you must understand. Now, this is what it is. I'll just pull it up on the screen so you can see it firsthand. The cost of living under oppression must be less than the cost of overthrowing oppression. The cost of living under oppression must be less than the cost of overthrowing oppression. Now that's the formula, that's the equation. You see, what happened in 1776, O King George let that equation get out of balance. Suddenly the people were faced with a proposition where the cost of overthrowing the oppression was less than the cost of living under it. Now that's why kings can be so tyrannical. Now you say, well, you're talking about kings. Well, when you hear the term king, just think of modern day government today. If you get out of line and you don't toe the line and don't go along with what's being taught and what's being put upon the people, you will be punished because you will be taught that it's better to live under the oppression than to try to overthrow it. So whenever you have that formula in balance, you have control of the people. The cost of overthrowing the oppression must always be more than the cost of living under it. Therefore, as a king, as a dictator, or a czar, or as a government, if you can determine what is the ultimate cost for the people to pay if they try to get out from underneath your tyranny, then you have ultimate control. So let me ask you something. What is the ultimate cost for people to pay? Money? No, because history shows that someone will come along and pledge their fortune, their sacred honor for liberty. Well, how about life? A lot of people say the very life, death, if you will. The ultimate price would be to give up your life, to face death. If that's the ultimate price, then you have ultimate control. But that's not even the ultimate price, because you see, some right-wing extremists will come along and say, give me liberty or give me death. So what is the ultimate price? What is the ultimate cost? How about eternal death? Think about it. Have you ever heard preachers talk about eternal death? Yet I defy you to find anywhere in the Bible where you can find the Bible teaching about eternal death. Oh, it teaches about eternal life. It says the wages of sin is death. But we have a religion out there today that teaches people about eternal death, where you go to this place where you fry and cry, shake and bake, you squirm and burn, and you're in hell, brother, hell! You want to go to hell? You want to go to purgatory? Be in purgatory for a long, long time, you see? That's eternal death. The Bible doesn't teach it. Sometime we'll have a lesson just on what the Bible teaches about hell, Hades. But what's being taught out there in the old-time Baal religion is you go to hell. And if you can convince the people, if you can convince the people that if they do not obey the king, they go to hell, eternal death, forever and ever, fry and cry, shake and bake, squirm and burn, then you have ultimate control over the people. I want to read to you from our booklet called None Ever Call It Conspiracy that we'd like to send to you. There's no charge for it if you'd write for it. I want to read something to you. It says, the ultimate cost is eternal death, a term that is not found in the Bible, yet modern ministers preach, teach, and speak about eternal death. As a king, if you can convince the populace that you are God or that you are ordained of God, and obedience to you will bring heavenly rewards, and disobedience will bring eternal death in the eternal barbecue pit called hell, then you have ultimate control. Thus, as a king, it behooves you to appoint priests who teach such a doctrine, and so evolves the symbiotic relationship. Now, in this booklet, we talk about this goes back in history, clear back to the days of King Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. We show what Alexander the Great did when he conquered Babylon. Did you know that the word Pharaoh means sun god? Did you know that the word Caesar means man god? Do you know in the past people would believe that these were gods and they had to obey? But it's not much different today, because today the old-time Baal priests and the prophets are teaching the people that all government is ordained of God. Is that true? Well, that's another issue itself. But you see, when you can convince the people that they have got to obey the government, obey the higher powers, and when those priests teach you that, they get the tax-exempt status from that government, you see. And when you teach the people that, then you have convinced them that if they do not want to go to hell, they have got to be good little citizens. Well, who's ultimately responsible? Who's ultimately responsible for this particular phenomena? Let's go back to the chain of cause, and we'll find out who's ultimately responsible. We know that the social system is determined by the economic system, that the economic system is determined by the political system. The political system is determined by the spiritual condition of the people. The political climate directly related to the spiritual climate of the people. And the spiritual condition of the people is determined by the religious leaders of the people. But is that the end of the chain of cause and effect? No, not at all. Let's look at that chain one more time, and we'll just pull it up on screen. The social condition is determined by the economic condition, which is determined by the political condition, which is determined by the spiritual condition, which is determined by the religious leaders. But guess who it is that is responsible for the religious leaders of our land? Right there at the very bottom of this chain of cause and effect is his people. You see, we have the religious leaders in the land today that the people want. And the prophet Jeremiah had enough guts to say it as just exactly the way it is. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 31, this is what he said. Quote, "The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule on their own authority, and my people love to have it so." End of quote. So there it is. The people are ultimately responsible. About 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came to this earth, and he began to teach the way, the right way, the way of the kingdom of God, where his will is done on earth as it is in heaven. Not the will of the people, not any rule, but the will of God. And it began to turn the world upside down, because the people were converted. They were taught that they had to repent of their sins, and they had to once again surrender themselves to their God. And they had a born-again experience. Their sins were washed away by the blood of Christ. When old Peter stood there on the day of Pentecost and whipped out his bony fisherman finger in front of the noses of those people who 50 days before had yelled out, "Crucify him, crucify him." He said it very clearly. He said, "What shall we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And you see, the people begin to change. And when the people changed, it went all the way up that chain of cause and effect, and it turned the world down. What you're getting today is not the deeper truths of the gospel of the kingdom, the meat of God's word. Yes, I know Jesus loves you. You know it. You've been told it. But the issue now is whether or not you love him. And you are willing his subjects once again to see to it that his will is carried out on earth as it is in heaven. The religious leaders that we have in our land today are the people that have been chosen by the people themselves. I think it was Hosea who said in Hosea chapter verse 9, listen to what it says. And it shall be like people, like priest. It shall be like people, like priest. Hosea 4:9. So it is, ladies and gentlemen, the conspiracy of all conspiracies, the conspiracy of prophet, priest, and king. I've tried to, in condensed form, to teach you in this broadcast that conspiracy that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the prophets of old understood. We appreciate being able to come into your home and to be able to share with you somewhat what we think are truths needed for these times. And we want to thank those of you out there that make our broadcast possible through your tithes and your offerings. We have a very, very large ministry, and we send out cassette tapes every 2 weeks to people all over the United States and all over the world. If you'd like information about that, you be sure to write to us, and we'll be able to give you information about that. And not only are we broadcasting on television, by the way, but we also broadcast through radio. You can hear us nights a week in America on shortwave radio. And we're on WHRI and WINB radio. We'll show you on the screen that WHRI and WINB can be received on satellite. And their shortwave setting is 7.311 and 11.950 on the other. And you can hear us every night on shortwave as we address issues of our day in light of the Word of God. Also, if you would be interested in receiving a shortwave radio, or having one, I should say, we carry shortwave radios. A lot of people don't have them, and they're a very nice thing to have. Very inexpensive shortwave radio. It's just a little $35 radio. We carry some others as well. And when you write to us, if you ask information about our shortwave radios, we'll send it to you. There's a little $35 radio that'll allow you to hear us every night if you want to, as we address the issues of the day. And we do hope that you will tune in to these Truth for the Times television broadcasts on a regular basis. And we're very grateful to those of you that make our broadcasts both on the radio and on television possible. Your tithes and offerings are most appreciated, and they keep us going. But I want you to know, this book, A Conspiracy, we'll send it to you free of charge. The connection between church and state, the conspiracy between prophet, priest, and king, all explained in this little booklet, and it can be ordered from us if no charge at all, and our address is going to be given to you here in just a moment. What we gave you in this broadcast is in that booklet, so quest it. Pray about what you heard, and thank you for listening.
You've been watching Truth for the Times with Pastor Peter J. Peters. We hope you will take time to write Pastor Peters. Your comments and requests are welcome. This broadcast was made possible by the free will tithes and offerings of those that want to pass it on. If you want to help Pastor Peters to that end and these Truth for the Times broadcasts, you may do so with your prayers and your support. To write Pastor Peters or to order items offered in this broadcast, write to Truth for the Times, P.O. Box 7, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
There's a spirit in our land, raising up the kind of man, burning in his heart to be free. Like the preacher men of old, he can't be bought, he can't be sold. What did they preach? They preached liberty to exercise of their God-given rights. guard of law told their people not to yield before his threats. For God established rulers to protect the rights of man and ordained government to fit into his plan to maintain his people's liberty.
Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights granted them out there.
From that law, we will keep our people free.
Through the jury, we'll guard our liberty.
We need such preacher men today to show our peace. The way to redeem their lead. The fires of hell cannot prevail against one man who'll take a stand from the pulpit, expose tyranny, and teach his people liberty.
Liberty to exercise all their God-given rights at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms, and pray.
From that law, we will keep our people free.
Through the jury, we'll guard our liberty. Liberty to exercise the rights granted them at the time of their birth. The right to speak, bear arms, and pray, worship God on land and say.
This jury says, not guilty, we choose to acquit. The state was wrong to charge him. This law is not fit for.